Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, you're now listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanesan. Today on the show, we'll be revisiting a BFM webinar from last week, how to manage your family budget during and after the MCO. And during this webinar, I spoke to Fatin Rosli and Samantha Yeo, both of Wealth Vantage Advisory. And co-moderating this conversation with me was Malik Ali, founder of FireLife. During that webinar, we discussed practical ways to manage finances and expenditure, not just during the MCO, but also practices that can be done after. And here's Fatin Rosli breaking that down for us.
Okay, so what some money management, smart money management that you can do is like when you receive your salary, you can just pay yourself first, save about 10 to 20%. And then after that, then you can pay your loans, pay your debts, pay your dues.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like income minus savings equals expenses, right? So
your income comes in, that would be great.
Pay yourself first if you can, and then you start paying your fixed payments, and then you go into your other expenses.
Yes, because why is it? It's important for you to have like salary minus savings that equals your expenses. It's because of most people tend to do salary minus expenses, then whatever left, or maybe nothing left. So they forgot about saving. They forgot about to pay themselves, to pay it forward. So I think that is the most important, really important for you to like save it so that you are forcing yourself to save. Then only you know that, okay, whatever left is whatever the expenses. So it will be easier for you to know whether you are on track on your budget or not. Yeah,
and I think it's just it when we talk about habits, this is one of those habits you want to build, right? So I know it sounds imposing when you say, "Oh, save first," but you can start with a small amount and build up from there, right? It's you just want to hammer that in your consciousness. I think this is a conversation we have quite often. It comes up during the Ring and Sense interviews. You just want to build that habit, and slowly over time, you build that momentum, and maybe you grow that savings and but that habit is the first thing you build. Sam, sorry, I interrupted you there. Could we talk about the three jars technique now?
Yeah. You remember just now I mentioned about the ladies who always overspend on wants.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's been practicing this three jar system for 2 years, over 2 years. So she always shared with me, this is the most easiest ways that she found is built up her way of spending. And she, currently, she enjoy a peace of mind right now. Okay, so basically, when we divided into three jars, the first jar is always your salary accounts. Okay, so your income flowing into one account. So the second accounts, I actually determine the jars into bank accounts. Yeah. Okay. The second account we say is saving accounts, which is whatever funding that you receive your income. You need to pay yourself first. So it is a saving account. So we always divide it to 20 to 25% of your income is transferred into this saving account. Okay. Third account, what we call funds account. Fund account means that you enjoying whatever under the ones. Okay. So basically, there are three accounts I repeated. First thing first is your salary account. Secondly, is your saving account. That is your fund account. So how you divide it into that? So the fund account, normally I will advise, depending on your situation, is 10 to 15% of your net income transfer into your fund account. So I give example, let's say your net income come into your salary account is 8,000. Okay, so that will 25% will actually transfer up to your saving accounts first, which is equivalent to 8,000 times 20 is close to 1,000 plus, okay, on that. So your fund account, which is 10%, let's say, is 800 ringgit to your fund account. So remaining balance it is left into your salary account, which is where you need to stay on and do the necessary transfer out to your fixed expenses. Example, your fixed expenses like loan repayment, your house, your car, your credit card usage, okay, and all the basic necessity like your utility bills, okay, and your cable TV's expenses, all this. So with whatever left behind, it is what need to cover your basic necessity to make sure that you can live normal like you pay your petrol, your eating out daily, okay, and your tolls and parking. So now, in terms of fund account, how we actually determine the fund account, which align back to this lady, she loves to shop, right? She loves to shop. So every month, I ask her, now you have 800 ringgit, meaning to say times 12, you will always will have 9,006 in your accounts. So if you like to shop in terms of your handbag, you look into your fund account balance, whether it is sufficient for you to shop or whether you wanted to review that this brand is too expensive, I do not have budget. So I will actually re-look into other brand in order for me to fulfill my desire. So with that, we will see that what is the outcome that you, what are the outcome that you will achieve? First thing first is in terms of peace of mind, financial security, and you are able to fund your emergency funding, especially at this crisis time. Okay. Lastly, what you can see is you will work harder because you have something to balance up yourself. You're able to spend, you're able to save, you're able to enjoy your life. So with that, during this MCO period, you may spend time to look into this. If you are, your situation is currently everything is okay, you do not have pay cut, everything is fine for you, you may look into this, the model. If let's say you are into another situation, you may actually foresee there will be a pay cut. You also can apply this. It's just that you need to adjust the percentage of it only.
So essentially, Sam, it's applying constraints into your life, right? Malik, yes, you want to add something there?
Yeah, just a question on Facebook. This is from Izwan Azmi. Can you give an example of the three jars for the the upper end of B40, lower M40? So I guess your 8,000 ringgit example, Sam, was maybe a bit high. The request for another example, maybe at this, or maybe the 4,000 mark or something like that, 4,000 mark. Well, how would you still apply the same ratios? Because I guess your fixed expenditure can be a bigger proportion of your income, right?
Yeah. Okay. So for people who are in between B40 or M40 group, what you are actually need to focusing on more on your fixed expenses. Okay. Like some of the people do not own a car. Okay, your fixed expenses mostly is to cover your basic necessity. Then you can actually save more. Then on your fund money, you can do the adjustment either at this MCO period. You can cut down your fund money. You can replace by upskill funding, meaning to say you grow up yourself, attending more webinar. Okay, by paying, engaging, make sure that you can actually well keep yourself just in case something that are changes in terms of your career.
So essentially, Sam, it comes down to applying those constraints, right? And it changes based on your own personal income level. If you're 4,000, maybe your fixed income is higher. You have to change those percentages around. And things like the fund account, these are things that you can roll them over, right? So that at the end of the year, maybe you have a bit more money to spend on something. So 4,000 ringgit, 10% of that, that's 400 ringgit. At the end of the year, you have 4,800 ringgit maybe. So that you can do some things with that kind of money. If you think about it on a monthly basis, then maybe you can't really do much with that. But essentially, it's a constraint. And I'm a big fan of applying constraints in personal finance thinking, right? So whether it's 5%, this goes this way, 10% goes this way, because it takes away the decision-making process. You don't go, oh, can I afford this? No. Now you have a budget straight there. 30% of your income can go here. It's very black and white whether you can afford this or can't afford this. What are some other ways you can apply constraints in your life? I think I've heard recommendations of using debit cards, e-wallets, I've even heard recommendations of putting money in envelopes and only using that money to shop. What do you guys think about this? Fatin, Sam, who wants to start with any thoughts here?
So the envelope system that you mentioned, Roshan, yeah, is just similar to a three-jar system. That some people would say, like, instead of three jars, what about six jars? So there's a lot of thinking and thought about this on what can you do in your personal finances. And again, if you have like the envelope system, because you already take out all your money and you put each and every situation thing that you need per envelope. So, and then like you can see like eating out, it can be one of the things. So if you like, if like friends are asking you out, so it will be like, that is your fund money. It can be like, okay, you only have like 30 ringgit or 50 ringgit left. So you know that you are not, you can't go out or those kind of things. So it's like putting a reality check on yourself when you have all these things in place. So you would know whether are you on track or not. And like you said, if you like putting in some simple savings on monthly basis, if like 1 month after another, you might not can have like the luxury of spending on it. So what if like if you save same amount of money, but you will use it after 1 year or 2 years, and then you know that there's also a method like 1 ringgit a day you keep, and then you have like 365 ringgit after a year, or like you keep when you see 5 ringgit, you just put it aside, or even 50 cents. Whenever you see 50 cents, you can keep. So this is all, it's just about habits. It's about mindset. So once you really like, if you do it, so you will get a hang about it later.
Yeah, so essentially, I think that the savings part always comes down to that habit, right? Just building the habit. However you can. And I think one of the things that has been talked about is how the MCO or the lockdown or whatever you want to call it has imposed certain habits or habit building processes. I've personally found myself less inclined to spend money now when I go out, because I'm just like, I don't really need to buy that. Or the other day I was just going out because some of the cafes are open. I think last month I bought one cup of coffee outside, one latte. That's it. And that was just it. And it, I don't know, maybe it's the concept, the appreciation of it. I was like, oh, this is really, really good, but I know I can live without it, especially because personally, I am trying to keep more money in cash because, I mean, we don't know where this is going. Yeah. And are there, do you guys recommend things like tracking expenses as well?
Basically, we advise people to do tracking. Okay, currently you can see that there is a lot of apps is actually in place in the market. You can easily do a recording or you just scan the receipt, then it will actually populate you the receipt. So at the end of the day, right, to track your expenses basically is to build up the good habit in order for you to know, hey, where is all my money is going? All my hard-earned money going to which category of my expenses. So during the MCO, what I found out, a very interesting experience. If you really track your expenses, right, mostly every month, we spend about 100 to 150 ringgit for celebration of birthday to our family or friends. Do you agree? But this during this MCO lockdown, I think everything has been stopped. Okay, everything has been stopped. But I found out that recently, especially last week, I have a real experience. We celebrate birthday celebration to two of our friends. But do you guess how much we spend during MCO lockdown?
50?
Yeah. We spend 750 ringgit, 750 per person. Okay, it is the cheapest birthday celebration throughout so many years in my working life. So now how we celebrate? First thing first, we make use of delivery services. We help the seller also. We order the cakes, then we send in by delivery. After delivery, there's somebody, the event organizer, okay, block all of us in Zoom meeting. So we do Zoom party. So what we experience is we blow candle, we sing a birthday song, we take video, we take group photo, everything via Zoom party. So the good experience is everybody is spending happiness with a very cheap cost, effective cost. And secondly, we get everybody connect to each other. So I do not know whether most of the people out there, do you all please experience this? You can see that in fact, spending behavior can be so enjoyable with a lowest cost.
And that was Samantha Yeo of Wealth Vantage Advisory with her real-world example of cutting some social expenditure during the MCO. Now, don't go anywhere. This discussion will continue right after these messages. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Ring It In Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanisan. Today on the show, we're revisiting a BFM webinar from last week on how to manage family budget during and after the MCO. And during this webinar, I spoke to Fatin Rosli and Samantha Yeo, both of Wealth Vantage Advisory, and co-moderating this conversation with me was Malik Ali, founder of FireLife. Now, during the webinar, we got a listener question about whether to continue investing taking into consideration that cash buffers have already been established. And here was Samantha Yeo's response to that question.
So basically, with the assumptions that the six-month emergency has been put aside, mm-hmm. and you've been already very clear of the current job is insecure right now, in down the road, 6 months, 1 year down the road, everything will be back to normal. There won't be any pay cut on that, then you should actually continue investing to generate your passive income, because there are some of the life goals you still require to fulfill, because everything needs time to generating your returns, and also everybody have limited resources to fulfill their life goal as well.
And let's say for you, if you're taking a look at 6 to 12 months, do you have any advice as to how you should be looking at those investments? What is it, diversified? Should you be looking at equities? What kind, do you have any thoughts on asset management and time horizon thoughts?
Okay, first thing first, you need to look into overall holistic of your current asset classes first. Where are all your liquid assets has been putting in place? Like example, how many percent you have put in equity in shares market, and how many percent you put into a very safe financial vehicle is like fixed deposit, okay, or bonds. So if let's say you already aware of all these asset classes, what we will encourage you to do is to meet up with your financial planner to review it so that you can actually have a more proper asset allocations towards to align back with your goal, because the current crisis, we still do not know what's going on with the market movement.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring this to a close here. So we've had a roughly 55-minute conversation, give and take the technical difficulties here and there. In summary, what do you want people to take away from this conversation we've just had?
If one thing that I want you to have is just like, for you to know what is your current financial situation. You need to list all of your expenses, your commitments, really know what is actually your needs and what is it actually that you're already spending on your wants. So can you compromise on your wants or not for now and for future? I mean, like, because of we don't know whether how long will our income, will it stay the same, this kind of things. And then will our income be more than our expenses. So I think in order for you to know all these things, you need to talk with your spouse, with your family, have a quality talk on them. What are expectations? What are expenses that can be reduced or deferred? And then, yeah, during this MCO, I think some of us are spending quality time with our kids. Probably you can teach them from young by playing Monopoly, teaching value of money. I mean, like, this is something that you can bond, because this is a time that it's not just about education on paper. This is about like creating values, educating through values. And this is something that I think it's a education on financials. It's like a lifetime learning. So, yeah, I think something that you need to really know what is the expenses, your needs and versus wants.
And Sam, what about you? What are your key takeaways from this?
I hope that after MCO, people is still, because of this lockdown, there is behavioral change, especially you cook at home, you eat healthy meal, and everybody doing exercise every day. So after MCO, this thing should be continued to move on. It is because of we still long way to go to overcome all the economy cycle issue. Then we hope that everybody can stay positive to accept and to adapt into the new norm.
All right. And Malik, what about you? We've had a long conversation here. We've done a few webinars. What are your key takeaways?
I agree with Sam, the behavioral change. For me, it's quite a big change, because I don't travel. I mean, I usually go up to, I live in Singapore. my family's in Singapore, although I'm Malaysian. But I go to KL to be with you guys every week, and spending the time with the family is fantastic. There's a lot of bread in the house, which is a fantastic behavioral change. I don't need to pay, you pay 5 Sing for a croissant, you know, and 50 ringgit for a croissant. Now, we have that at home, and that's great. I also have the opportunity to sort of sit down with my kids and, go through some simple financial literacy. We play Monopoly, they play Animal Crossing, they're learning about turnips. Animal Crossing, and turnips is like the stock market where you have a lady called Sow Jones as well there.
So, amazing.
I'm using those opportunities just to have a nice great conversation with my children about crisis, about when these things happen, you need to have some stuff, cash in reserve and so on. So there we are.
And on that note, that's all for today's episode of Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Gunnison for BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.